Thank you and good evening. Welcome to tonight's Monroe City Council meeting. This is the meeting for March 17th. The time right now is 7 p.m. And Gretchen, will you call the roll, please?
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you. Councilmember Camp will be late. He did text me earlier and indicated that he'd be late, so I'll state that for the record when he comes in. And Councilmember Davis, will you lead us in the pledge since Councilmember Camp's not here?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, the first item that we have on this evening's agenda is a presentation on the Monroe mobile app launch. Choose Monroe.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Dan Evans.
Hello, everybody.
Hi, Dan.
He's our CEO and customer service, you know, community representative, as it sure says.
That's correct.
And he'll be showing you the mobile app that just launched on Sunday.
So now the mobile app did launch on Sunday for Android. If you have an Apple device, Apple's had some downages over the past week and it's delayed our release. So we're hoping that you guys will be able to download it by tomorrow, but we'll find out what Apple's got to offer us. So just to give you a quick peek at what the app has got. This is our main page that it opens up to. This is all the businesses in town. We've got quite a few businesses listed, as you can see up on the map, and we've got more that we're adding every day. If we tap on a business, they've got a nice photo up top, which kind of shows off who they are and what they're about. And it's kind of interesting to see the photos that the business has chosen to put up there. A nice description about the business and what they have to offer. Easy access to all of their information and contact with them. Also underneath the events calendar, our first sponsored ad is the School Bond Information Wine and Cheese Meeting, so make sure everybody attends that, and RSVP with Unin at the Chamber. But all the events that we have through the Chamber, the City, and the Rotary, YMCA, we have listed in here in chronological order, and access to this is provided to all the nonprofits that are in the app and the city, so that way that can all be updated on a regular basis. 311 tab is information all about the city. Here we've got all of our city officials. Each of you are listed here with your contact information, so that way people can easily pull up and contact you in regards to any reason that they want to contact you. Under the city departments, this will be continuously updated as well as we're identifying how we want to be listing them in the departments. And the most important piece in the cities, in my opinion, are the schools and the parks. So in the parks, we've got all the parks in town listed. And we will be making some changes to this. In our next version, we're actually going to have a park search. So it will look just like the business page where you have a map up top and all the parks. You'll be able to then go in and do a search for the park based on amenity. So if you're looking for a park that has a playground and a bathroom or a picnic table, you're going to be able to search for that. It's going to show you what parks we have in the city that are available for that. Each of these parks does have full information about it as well. Right now, we just have a listing of all the amenities. We will have a full description about the park with some updated photos, and then obviously that search function. The schools, we have all the schools listed here as well. Each of those schools will have an event calendar tied directly to it, but you also are able to go into the event calendar and actually choose which schools you actually want to have included, and those events will be included right into your main event calendar. So if you have children in the school district, you're going to be able to see events that actually pertain to you.
Cool.
Each of the schools are also receiving a beacon device, so the schools can utilize the technology to communicate with the students, teachers, and parents. And they're very excited about it as well, and handing some of that control at the high school or the ASB group to be able to communicate positive affirmations to the students when they arrive at the school through their devices that they're on every day. We also have to report a problem, so we can report potholes. Yesterday was our first day live. We received one from outside of the city, and we received one from inside the city. And so people will be using this, and once it hits iOS, obviously, as well, we'll have more people getting it. And that's really about it on the customer side. Any questions? We can do searching. One thing I should hit is when you hit the search, you can either type in a business name up top, or you can hit search and choose a category of whatever you happen to be looking for. If you're looking for a good place to eat, it'll pull it up, and it's all based on where you are currently standing, and it shows you the businesses that are closest to you first. There's no preference in regards to ratings or anything of that nature. Any questions, guys? Yes.
Councilmember Gearing.
I think, just looking at right here, so it looks like there's a scrolling...
Yes.
This is kind of a scrolling with certain businesses. Yeah, see,
so yeah, the rotating apps are, as we proposed to the city, actually when we proposed to the city, it was actually a $49 fee that the businesses would be paying to be included in the app, and then we were going to charge an additional $49 for our viral marketing system. And what we decided to do in speaking with representatives here at the city is we've listed any business that will listen to us about the app and learn about it, we will list them at no charge. We charge you the $49 per month fee for the technology side of the promotion, and we waive the additional $49 for the viral marketing system. So the businesses that are paying that $49 are included in that rotating ad that you're seeing, and they also get the capability of the technology to really help promote.
Okay. And I see it on different, when I go on the different tabs, like this one now says Kaufman, Chiropractic, Monroe, so different businesses. So on the homepage, if you scroll down, there's a bunch of static business names here, and was that just part of what you were just explaining? Like, are they showing in any particular kind of order? They don't look like they're alphabetical, or
they are based on distance from where you were standing.
Because it says I'm 7,661.
Dr. Max is 0.0 miles away because based on the GPS that I'm getting in this building, that's how far away from it I am. If you scroll all the way down to the very bottom of the page,
got it.
You'll see Clayton's Farrier Service, which actually does not have an address, but Housing Hope is 12.6 miles away because they're actually in Everett, but they're a nonprofit, so we did list them. Blue Boy West Golf Course is 6.1 miles away, and when you do pull them up, it will provide you with a map as well. If you tap on the map or the address, it will provide you directions to that location, which we also then track for the business to be able to receive in reporting about. First of all, how are they finding you? Are they finding the business through a rotating ad? Are they finding you just by doing a name search or a category search? If they are doing a category search, which category did they choose to find you? And then once they did find that business page, what action did they take? Did they actually tap on the phone number to make a phone call? Did they tap on the address to get directions? Did they visit the website? So we can really show those businesses what type of interaction that they're getting and where they may need to make changes to get a better response.
Okay. I appreciate that. It's saying that I'm 7,662 miles away from the Y.
Yes, the GPS in here is not
great. Okay, yeah. So it thinks I'm in.
I was over at Sam's Cats and Dogs today.
Okay.
It said I was 6,000 miles away, but then when I walked out his front door and had sky, suddenly I was 0 miles.
Got it. So it's just not the wireless service on your phone. It's actually GPS.
Correct.
Got it. That makes more sense. Okay, thank you very much.
Is that an Android device?
It is.
That might be one.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm just kidding.
Very good. Yeah.
Right.
I don't speak Apple, but that's all right. No, I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Absolutely. Any additional questions?
Council members?
Great.
Yeah, it does. It looks really nice.
Well, thank you guys. And I want to thank all of you as well for having the vision to see what this app could do for your city when we didn't have one to actually show you. So thank you very much for that.
So I've got a couple of follow-up questions. So I want to make certain that our letterhead, that our email signature lines, that our business cards have the appropriate QR code or web address or verbiage, whatever it is. What is it that we should be putting on our email? Is it going to be?
We'll send you over a template for that.
Okay.
This week and possibly next week. Over the first 2 weeks that the app is live, we're going to be getting that stuff to you. We're also playing with the beacon devices. I don't know if you guys remember that.
Mm-hmm.
So the device that does the broadcasting, so when people are walking past businesses, we can broadcast information out about their business. We'll be playing with those as well because we need to continuously update our algorithm to make sure that we're not annoying residents.
Yeah.
So right now we have those beacons set very minimal while we're just honing in on certain businesses of what type of range they should get, getting marketing information out to you guys. We've got the window stickers coming. Brad got those on the way. And graphics and stuff.
Okay, sounds good. And then again, when will the iPhone be ready?
On Sunday.
Okay.
I was up at 1 in the morning yelling at my developers, and they told me that they have no control over it. We're waiting for Apple.
Okay.
We were actually submitted over a week prior to the launch. Pending, all we had to do was hit a button. When Apple actually had their servers go down for 17 hours, a lot of the apps that were pending launch were actually lost, and we had to resubmit.
Okay.
So now we wait for them.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Hopefully we'll be soon.
Thank you very much. And Councilmember Cutterback?
You mentioned the beacons, and you're kind of testing that, and I could see the advantage for a business. Somebody's walking downtown, and there's a sale at the end of the street, and they'll get that information. Is there a way for a customer to opt out of receiving those? Okay.
There's multiple ways that they can actually do it. They can opt out of an offer specifically from a business, from a category, or altogether.
Okay.
So if they choose that, you know, if I go past a woman's shoe store, there's not an offer in the world that can get me to actually go into a woman's shoe store.
Unless you're buying a present.
Valid. but I would opt out of that category.
Right. I gotcha.
And so we're going to be obviously making changes to that as we go as well, because the beacon technology is new, so we're going to be continuing to make changes. But that beacon also is what triggers that viral marketing exposure, so it'll ask the customer what type of experience they had and put the post out on social media. Now, we've got one change I should actually tell you guys about, based on one of the business owners here in town. In the event calendar, we're actually going to be adding a tab to the top of the event calendar, so we have public events and sales. So when people do come to town to spend money, we want to make it as easy as possible for them to find the deals. So the businesses will be able to submit their sales to the app. And if you tap the sales tab, it will show you every special that's going on in town or the date range that you're looking for.
Awesome. Great.
And obviously, any thoughts and ideas that you guys have as we're going, please send them along.
Thank you.
Thank you. Please let the record show that Councilmember Camp came in at 7:11. And Councilmember Camp, we just heard a presentation on the Choose Monroe app. For Mr. Evans here, do you have any questions? He was just wrapping up. What's that?
We launched on Sunday.
Okay.
For Android, we're pending Apple due to they have some server outages, but as soon as they get done reviewing our app, it'll be live for Apple as well. But it is there to download. The app is called Choose When Wrong. I just ran through it. And do you have an Android? Okay. We'll get you taken care of.
Okay.
Any other questions?
I see no other questions. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The next item on our agenda is comments from citizens. This is a time set aside for members of the audience to speak to the City Council on any issue related to the City of Monroe, except any quasi-judicial matter subject to a public hearing. Testimony or public comment, rather, is limited to 5 minutes per speaker. We do have a sign-in sheet. Did anybody sign in? Thank you. The first person that we have that signed in is Chris Hendrickson. Please come up and state your name and address for the record.
Try not to throw up. My name is Chris Hendrickson. My address is 125 East Main Street in Monroe. I'm here to talk about the official city newspaper. I was shocked, disappointed, and greatly dismayed in January when the Monroe City Council voted unanimously to repeal Resolution 2005-023, the resolution which proclaimed the Monroe Monitor as the official city newspaper. I was even more shocked and disappointed when I heard the discussion that followed when the council indicated interest in having a daily newspaper as the official city newspaper. There's only one daily newspaper, and that newspaper is the Everdaily Herald. I was again dismayed when I learned that my own newspaper didn't promptly respond to the city's request for proposal. The second that I found that out, I took swift action and notified upper management at the Monroe Monitor in hopes that they would rectify the situation, which they did. Finally, I was, yet again, surprised and saddened when I learned that the Everett Daily Herald also responded to the city's RFP. When I heard the news, I felt hopeless, like the writing was already on the wall. I was surprised at the intensity of my own emotional response. I am actually confused as to why the Monroe City Council would consider having a newspaper called the Everett Daily Herald as their official city newspaper, a newspaper that's located in Everett. My newspaper is called the Monroe Monitor, and we're located right down the street. I've covered city council meetings for almost 2 years now, and can probably count on one hand how many meetings I've missed. I've noticed a reporter from the Herald here once, yet that's who you have indicated that you are interested in having serve as the official city newspaper. A long time ago, I came here to one of these meetings, and I listened to an individual make disparaging remarks about my newspaper right in front of me. And I said to myself, don't take it personal, Chris. You're just a freelancer. You aren't actually the Monroe Monitor. And when I saw the official city newspaper item on the agenda and listened to the discussion that followed, I again said to myself, don't take it personal, Chris. You're just a freelancer. You aren't actually the Monroe Monitor. But the fact of the matter is that it is personal because at this point I am the Monroe Monitor. And I'm fighting to keep this newspaper alive, a newspaper that's been in print since 1899. For real, I just looked at newspapers from 1899. In the 2.5 months that we've been under new management, they've reduced the number of pages that get printed and made other structural changes to the newspaper. It worries me. Clearly, there are financial issues at play that I'm not aware of. This is why I can confidently say that the city choosing the Everett Daily Herald to be the official city newspaper is a nail in our coffin. I absolutely don't mean to be disrespectful or indicate that our newspaper will die without the city's legal notifications. That's hopefully not the case at all. It's actually up to me to keep writing things that people want to read, and it's up to my salesmen to sell advertising. But what I do mean to indicate is that we need all the help that we can get, because it would be a tragedy for the Monroe Monitor to follow in the footsteps of the Seattle PI and thousands of other print media outlets that have had to close their doors. It saddens me that the City Council would consider letting the Monroe Monitor get pushed to the wayside. I understand that there was concern that we only publish on Tuesdays, but that argument doesn't stand up for me. I don't know when there would ever be a public hearing notification published on the same day as the public hearing itself, which would be the only time that would be an issue. And since hearing notices are typically published 2 weeks in advance, I don't see how that's a problem, but I could not be understanding it correctly. And honestly, I would bend over backwards if the city wanted me to publish something online or add something to our online calendar. The resolution that the City Council repealed deemed us as the official city newspaper because we devote over 80% of our articles to Monroe activities. In all honesty, I know that I don't always accomplish 80%, but it's something that I'm constantly mindful of. When Polly left the newspaper last year, I knew that I needed to become more involved in Monroe activities. The first thing I did was reach out to the Monroe Police Department, sorry, Chief, and ask the communications officer for more police-related stories. Then I reached out to the fire department and asked for more fire department-related stories. This year, my goal has been to work more closely with the mayor and the city staff. I was gun-shy, to be honest, but now I love working with Monroe. This week, I am working on a story about an amazing woman who started her career in law enforcement here in Monroe. She worked her way up the ranks and became deputy chief of the Monroe Police Department and is currently serving as a captain at the Kirkland Police Department. I'm also working on a story about an adorable 8-year-old who lives here in Monroe who has a rare form of diabetes. She's amazingly cute, and I spent 2 hours last night getting to know her and learn more about what she goes through. I don't know who will write those stories if the Monroe Monitor goes away. I understand that as a reporter, my job is to report on the activities of the Monroe City Council without direct involvement, but I couldn't sit silently by and watch my newspaper get removed from the equation. We are called the Monroe Monitor, I'm the Monroe Monitor, and I ask for your consideration when the official city newspaper item comes back onto the agenda. Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you.
The next person that we have who has signed up to speak is Rosie Tattle. Ms. Tattle, will you come forward and state your name and address for the record, please?
14969 174th Avenue, Monroe. I'm going to go a little bit backwards, bouncing off what she did before I have what I want. When I contacted the Herald about a problem that the mayor responded to that I'll speak in a minute, I brought in something. They didn't even respond. As the paper gets smaller, their staff is less helping local issues. And then I noticed the thing about Highway 2 in the Monitor, that the Herald had one little sentence instead of an article. And to me, that's the difference. But that isn't what my subject is. Okay, I first want to thank you, the mayor, for following up on the Highway 2 original ramp where I was talking about. Thank you very much for doing that. And if you could send me something of how much it costs, because I am on my word in reimbursing you guys for that. I know you won't know off the top of your head, but I'm keeping my word.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Because the meeting that the fairgrounds had even had a date. The two keeps coming up. The date was the 26th for the fairgrounds. That was the date my husband and I, my first husband, met. And I wanted to know, after reviewing that, what the city is going to work. What the city is going to try to do about the original ramp getting cars to stop. Like what improvements they're planning, like trying to get the legislature probably to do. Can you say a little bit on that?
This being public comment, it's intended for you to speak with us, but the short answer would be that that Brad Feilberg or Gene Brazel could respond to you about what we're doing.
Wait, can you say the name?
Yeah,
raise
Brad.
Your hand. Okay,
Brad,
him.
There you go. Yes.
And your name again?
I'm Brad.
Okay, Brad? Okay.
And there's no need for reimbursement. That's
okay.
But thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Rosie. Okay, is there any other member of the public that would like to come forward? Yes, sir. Please come forward and state your name and address for the record.
My name is David Van Kirk, 326 Short Columbia Street. I've lived in Monroe here since 1992. I've never come up and speak before the city council before, so it's a little nerve-wracking, so bear with me. But I got a couple of things I'd like to talk about. Hopefully I get to them. But, you know, I paid my water bill, and I paid the last two water bills, and the water bill has gone up. And I was paying about $124 a month. It's now $140. That's a lot, okay? And I know that the water that we buy has gone up by 4.4%. I know that, and I know the sewer's gone up by 14%, okay? But $140 a month is a lot of money. Now, I'm managing to pay that, but I think that's probably a big burden on a lot of the families in Monroe. And interestingly enough, it struck me that this raise in the rate came right after Walmart opened their doors. And so I'm just wondering why I pay $140 a month for water, and I'm just a single guy. I don't use a lot of water. I get the minimum trash pickup and the whole thing. It's $140 a month. It just seems to me that there's got to be a way to get the money from somewhere else other than the citizens of Monroe. Okay? Like, there's Walmart, there's Fred Meyer, there's Hagen's, there's Safeway. I mean, there's a lot of business activity going on. It seems to me we can maybe spread that out a little bit and lower that rate for the citizens of Monroe. So that's what I want to say about that. Okay. The next thing I want to talk about is I noticed we now have a motorcycle cop in Monroe. And what I'd like to know is why do we have a motorcycle cop in Monroe? No offense, sir. How much that cost, how much it was to get that going, what's the ongoing cost of that going to be to the city of Monroe? And I want to know if that was a new addition to the police department or if something was cut, another officer, a car was maybe cut from the police department to allow the motorcycle cop to happen. I just want to know about that. Okay? Okay, the next thing I want to talk about, the final thing, is I stand on the corner of Lewis and Main and I look up and down the street. And all I see is a lot of empty retail space. Okay? So what I know is there's four bars in Monroe, and all the restaurants serve liquor. There's a tobacco shop on the corner there on Lewis Street, and it's tobacco. So I know that I've been to a couple of city council meetings where you guys have talked about we're going to keep the pot shops out, keeping them out. I get that, but maybe it's time to start thinking outside the box, because it seems like every other month another storefront closes downtown. And whatever you're doing isn't working. Okay? So I think what you ought to do is allow a pot shop to open up downtown and give them 2 years and see how it goes. Because the idea is to bring commerce into downtown and people to spend money. Okay? And the point I want to make about that, the bars and, you know, the tobacco, is that the alcohol and cigarettes have killed way more many people and destroyed many, many more lives than marijuana ever has or ever will. Okay? And marijuana is now legal in the state of Washington. So I would just like to see something outside the box for the human sector of downtown. I love Monroe, and I don't want to see it die.
Thank you. Sir, can I ask you to... write down your name and address and phone number? And what I'll do is I'll have our city administrator, Gene, coordinate getting back to you with a response. So when you're done, if you just give that to our attorney, and he'll pass it on to me. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Okay, is there any other member of the public that would like to come forward to speak this evening? Anybody? Okay. We're going to go ahead and move on now to the consent agenda. Councilmember Gehring.
I will make a motion to approve the consent agenda.
Second.
Okay, I have a first from Councilmember Gehring, a second from Councilmember Camp. Any discussion on the motion to approve the consent agenda? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 7-0. Next item on the agenda is under unfinished business number one. This is AB 15048, discussion comprehensive plan update. Mr. Feilberg.
Thank you. Oh, joy.
Do you want me to call out numbers this evening?
Okay. Well, this one's different.
I think we like your numbers. There's less numbers tonight. It's good.
Yes, it's shorter tonight.
It's shorter tonight.
This is the last batch. Last week, the planning commission went over the policies associated with Goal 5 and Goal 9. I did a slightly different format this time. I didn't do the cross-outs. I did the whole thing.
I like it.
And I think, if I recall correctly, you mentioned getting rid of Goal 1 last week, and everyone seems to be happy with that.
Okay, just a sec.
It's page number 12. If you're not there,
show me where you're.
Page 12 is the start of Goal 5. You got it. Here, scroll down over here.
Scroll somewhere right there. Okay.
There.
Councilmember Cutabat.
Was there a vote, or we agreed to get rid of Goal 1?
Goal 1. Restate what Goal 1 was.
I looked it up because
that was the super generic one.
Be a well-managed city that responds to community needs.
Right. So the discussion there was that that seemed more like a vision statement than a goal statement, and so that was brought up last week, I think. And they were talking about rolling it into the vision. No vote taken, so if council would like to leave it in, we can leave it in, but it sounded as if the consensus was that would be a vision, fold it into more of a vision, higher level statement.
And then the policies went away. They're all there underneath other goals also.
Thanks.
Do you have any, Councilmember Cutabat?
No, I just didn't remember that being formally.
Well, we didn't. No.
Yeah, just kind of, so yeah. I missed that.
It's okay.
So I'm not sure how I feel about that. So we can come back, you know,
I can
bring it up again. Let me take a look at that. Because when I saw it, I thought, well, there's a lot in there that goes to ensuring that we have reserves, paying down debt. I mean, there's a lot of policies in my mind that could go to a well-managed city. And, you know, responding to community needs, using the contingency fund for special projects, and so, but I could be in the minority.
It's okay. I don't think anybody disagrees with any of those policy statements. I think the question was whether it belonged in the land use, you know, in the comprehensive plan versus, financial policies that we adopt.
Okay.
So, you know, something we can certainly talk more about.
Yeah.
That's the downtown.
Okay. Before we get started, is there anything else? Okay. Let's go ahead and Goal 5.
Goal 5, just for those paying attention. Design for and appropriately locate the types, quality, and quantity of development in Monroe to ensure land use compatibility and enhance neighborhood character and facilitate the city's long-term sustainability.
Jeez.
So, Policy 5. Policy 8. Policy 11B. Policy 13, Policy 14, 17, 18.
Councilmember Gehring.
18. Thanks, Brad. Thank you, Mayor, for recognizing me. Brad, the required buffering, what does requiring buffering look like? That was my question on that one.
That is later. That's the implementation one. This is your policy, and then in the regulations
okay.
Right now, it talks about type 1 landscaping, type 3 landscaping.
Got it. Okay, so but that's the lower level stuff we'll get
right.
to some other time. Got
yes.
it. Very good. Thank you.
Before we continue, though, I mean, if you do have a concern about requiring landscape buffers or things like that, where commercial and industrial abuts residential, that's important to know because this is a policy that code like that will be based on.
Yeah.
So,
what I had envisioned in my head was landscaping, and generally you do that anyway. As a good neighbor, you would hope that would happen. So essentially, we're saying if some business comes in, we're going to make sure that they do.
Yeah, I mean, we require it now, we're just continuing on that, and you know.
And my only concern there would be, and I appreciate you bringing that up because that brings another question, is the neighborhood commercial then, which is in a different area. And if someone opened that neighborhood commercial, which I'm still not sure where it would go, but let's say it was somewhere in the Frylands, the buffering around that, this is one of those things that would apply. I was thinking more of if there were apartments next to Fred Meyer, right? You'd want some sort of sound or you'd want some sort of, you know, trees or something to, you know, for sound, some sort of a buffer. That's the kind of thing we're talking about. I know that's in the details,
yeah.
But...
Yeah, because when you're doing your details, you know, one of the things you do when you develop new land use regulations is you see if it complies with the policies of your comprehensive plan.
Okay.
So, sometime in the future, it will be brought before the city council, I'm going to assume, some buffering requirements between things. First thing we check, yes, there's a policy that says require that. Then you decide what the requirement is.
Okay. And so, let's just say...
It could vary between, you know... Big commercial is different than little commercial is different than industrial.
Which, in the implementation, we might divvy up how that looks.
Right.
I was thinking, like, let's say Park Place Grocery was brand new. Okay, it's right next to a house. Mm-hmm. That type of a thing, right? And so, since that's a small thing, that might be there might be a little bit less of an impact there versus if it was Fred Meyer
right.
going in there next to a house, then you're going to... Okay. Right. And then that's to be worked out in the details.
Yes.
Great. Thank you.
Good.
Go ahead.
19, 23, 29, 61... 69, 70, 72,
Councilmember Cutterback.
So, Brad, back to 70, where it talks about the health service district. So, as Prov is in Kelsey, I'm wondering if that's still, you know, strong enough to be a policy.
Yeah.
And as, you know, depending on where the growth goes north and people wanting, you know, health services closer to where... growth is.
You still have the 50 centers there for the battles that are located there. The hospital, the substance recovery center, you know, pharmacy, you still have the building that Providence used to be in that needs to do something. Hospital is working on a remodel right now to add some more services. So, you know, it's still
sure.
sort of working there. So.
Yeah, I just question whether it's a policy of the city to promote that. I mean, what does that mean? Are we going to dictate regulations that we're going to, as we look at future development? So really, what does that mean? Like,
right.
for us as a city
yeah, I think it's
to have a policy
promote,
around that.
It's not promote as in, you know, advertised as kind of promotion.
Right.
But, you know, what regulations do we implement that allows, encourages, you know.
But that's not saying we would discourage it anywhere else,
no.
though.
It doesn't say you're discouraging anywhere, but you
that's
are
good.
Encouraging it there.
Yeah.
Water over the whole city, maybe.
Yeah, I just don't know if that's a policy of the city that we're promoting it in that one area. It seems like we're promoting businesses to come throughout.
Mm-hmm.
And we've allowed Providence to be in the Kelsey area, and maybe who knows what's going to happen at the rest of Kelsey. So that's all. I just don't know if it rises to a level that that's a policy of the city, that we're focusing on that one area for mm-hmm. health services.
I think the effective word here is, node, trying to promote, you know, kind of like we were talking about with neighborhood commercial where you've got multiple nodes. I'm trying to think about what the intent here is. The node is something we already have there, but it's trying to enhance what's there today, I think, is what the intent is. Just thinking out loud, though. Councilmember Gehring?
Along those same lines, I appreciate Councilmember Cutterback's point there, because it is kind of specific. We don't know where in town this might pop up. And from that aspect, I wouldn't mind maybe getting 179th out of there. Maybe the Fremont area of downtown. I mean, there's all kinds of areas that could be redeveloped as health services centers. I would want this to be more generic so that when an opportunity is presented, you know, we could even direct them to places, you know. A generic seems a little bit better there, taking advantage of all of town. And I certainly understand wanting, you know, a developer on the hospital, but that could be, even with something more generic, you can still do this, what this says. But for a policy level, we want to invite those kinds of health service businesses here, regardless of where they might, you know, want to go, as long as it fits the zoning, right? So those would be my thinking along that line.
Okay, so what's council members' preference here? Do we want to leave this in? Do we want to work on it? I think the intent here is to try to reinforce a node that already exists and encourage redevelopment of that node. And the fact that it's saying serving nearby neighborhoods and industrial areas, and I'm not quite certain where the industrial areas comes in, but I think the serving nearby neighborhoods reflects that that might be a little bit different than like Providence, which is more vehicle-oriented nearby neighborhoods. I think of the people that I see walking on the sidewalk and whatnot in the area, and I'm just trying to point out that it seems a little bit different, like they're talking about a node and trying to sort of enhance what's there right now. But it's council's decision on what you want to do with it. Would you like this changed? Would you like it pulled out? Councilmember Gamble.
So what I'm hearing from both Councilmember Gearing and Councilmember Cuttenbach is that they'd be more inclined for a policy statement that would be promote growth and development of health services, supporting health-related uses, and serving nearby neighborhoods and industrial areas.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because,
probably.
I mean, if we just did that, because that's, I mean, Evergreen's my hospital too, but Providence is closer. So, I mean, serving the neighborhoods, we're all pretty near.
And what if we had an opportunity to do something somewhere else in town? I mean, you know, just leave it generic and we can focus where we like.
Does that work?
Yeah. So does anybody disagree with Councilmember Gamble's? Okay, so we can listen to the tape or?
That already crossed out appropriately.
Okay, good. All right, please continue.
Yeah. 72, 73.
Councilmember Camp and then Gearing.
Thank you. I'm just curious about the potential alternative uses for First Airfield.
Okay.
Number 72? Oh, I'm sorry, 73?
Yes.
Okay. So is the intent, since it's already zoned as an airport, is the intent that we are no longer going to have an airport, an airfield, that's already been assigned? Or?
No, the intent is to allow the current owner or any future owners to decide what to do with it, as opposed to saying the only thing you can do to it is have an airport.
Okay, so this isn't predisposing that we've already decided we're not going to allow an airport.
That option to go either way.
Okay, that's it. I'm done. Thank you.
Councilmember Gearing?
Thanks. Same one, 73. And I appreciate the reword is what I wanted to say on this one. It was worded very differently before, and this is much better. Because it could still be an airport and some mixed stuff that we talked about, restaurant, hotel, you know, all kind of man caves. I mean, there's been all kinds of ideas. And if this allows for that, the reword to me seems like it allows for those potential type of things. And we don't own it, but this allows the current owner to explore the things. So I'm all on board. Thanks.
Okay, please continue.
Councilmember
Gearing.
Thanks. Promoting. How do you promote that? Are we going to give discounts? What's the thinking behind what a promotion would be?
There's two ways to promote. Is just information. You know, this is how you do things, you know, things like that, or actually say if you do certain energy conservation things, you know, you could have bigger floor coverage, you know, lot coverage, or, you know, height differences, or, you know, fee reductions, or anything like that.
To be TBD.
TBD.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Got it. Very good. Thank you.
Okay. Please continue.
93, 112.
Councilmember Cuttenbach and then Gearing.
So on 112, if I remember correctly, we had talked about annexations also having some sort of a cost-benefit analysis that we would look at when we're looking at an annexation, making sure it pencils out that we're not taking a burdensome amount of expense on. So I don't know if that...
There is another policy underneath one of the goals of that says that you do a cost benefit analysis for annexations.
Okay.
This is talking about expanding them to,
right,
you know, some
for the natural
seed. Natural boundaries or things like that. So.
But do you think it's worth it to add a line in there saying, you know, when appropriate in meeting a cost benefit analysis, seek to, you know, expand proposed annexations, just so that it's kind of top of mind and that we always go through that?
You know, it's in another policy, and it's a different location, so it's going to be there, and that gives you the wording.
So part of the issue I have sometimes with wording and in government is you have it over here, but you don't have it over here. I mean, we just went through this where then it can be confused on exactly what you do. So, you know, that's my only concern is that we may remain somewhat consistent in our wording throughout an entire document so we don't have discrepancy and we don't have, well, it didn't say it here, so do we have to do it? Because it said it over here, but they're both
right.
policies right. under different goals. That's my concern.
Yeah. We'll make a note of that, and maybe when you see the plan, you won't have that concern. So it'll be the way the appendix C, I think, is what it was. We talked about earlier, but all
right.
of these together.
Okay.
So that, and that one, we actually were looking at things, so they're all sitting in 50 different places to look at stuff. And I think also we're going to maybe present them under the elements they should be underneath each other, too. So it'll be closer. But I'll make a note here.
Okay.
I
just like consistency and kind of common language that's, you know, throughout the document so it's not confusing where one thing it says here and the other thing it doesn't mention it. Okay, thanks.
Thank you. Councilmember Gehring.
Thanks. On the same one, I appreciate those comments. Yeah, once we see that Appendix C or whatever that's called, Appendix C, is that what you said? Yeah. Well, when they're all next to each other, I think it'll be a clearer read. My questions on this one is actually, why would we tie future annexations to natural features and open spaces? And I think I asked that before, but I don't remember if there was you were coming back to that or to make the boundaries more regular. I mean, we don't need to be a perfect square or rectangle or, you know, with our city boundary. I'm assuming that's what make city boundaries more regular means. I'm just trying to think of, I mean, the way the streets are, I mean, you're not really going to have a...
The boundary review board likes that too, because actually on the Roosevelt Ridge proposed annexation, the review board made us square off the boundary before we.
They did. I don't remember that. Okay.
But that is something that is done regularly by the boundary review board to square up your boundaries,
okay,
make it more regular.
And so
necessarily have to square. And then the other part for the. Natural features or open spaces could also be not annexing part of it, you know, just as following your policy. So if we want to do some parks land, we, you know, annex the parks land, but if there's, you know, something that's a wetland or a farm or something that's out there, you know, not annex that.
Okay. I'm just struggling with why this one's in here at all. I mean, we might want to expand proposed annexations that will help with commercial development or that will help with education or will help with something. There may be some other, this just seems specific to natural resources and open spaces. And I mean, again, that seems a little limiting is what I'm saying. Shouldn't it be up to the planning department and council, whoever is in those positions and in that time, to consider whether or not you should annex whatever piece of land for whatever reason? I mean, just thinking of that small piece of land off Calhoun that's not in the city limits. I think one of our fire commissioners lives on it, and it comes saying, yeah, no, don't put me, you know, I don't want to be in the city, right? You know, and that's a very oddly shaped thing. And I know maybe closing something in makes a more regular boundary. So I understand that point. I guess I'm just a little hung up on specifically on the natural resources open spaces. I can think of all, you know, there's a multitude of reasons why you might want to annex a given piece of property. Unless you know, this is related to parks, but we're not in the parks, section. So I guess,
can I take a mark?
Yeah, please. I'm struggling. Why is this one here?
So Brad, I don't know. I also am in a bit of a quandary as to what's intended by this. I've heard arguments about there being policies for annexations that take into consideration like benefit cost analysis.
Yeah, we need to do that.
I think that most jurisdictions, when they do annexations, do it to bring in area where property can be developed within the same development standards that that the city has, or to meet population growth requirements and things like that. And so, to me, it seems a little odd the way that this is written. Unless council disagrees, I'd like to have staff contact the consultant about what this policy is intended to be.
Please.
And then update the policy, because I myself concur with both council members that have spoken on this so far, and I think there are other reasons why why jurisdictions do annexations. Making the boundaries more regular, I think, is something required by RCW or by county code, one of the two, because I know it's something the boundary line, the boundary review board looks at and has looked at for some time. So
we should annex a triangle just for fun. Let's find a triangle. So.
Circle. We'll call it the pie annexation.
Pentagon.
Does anybody have any disagreement with having that rewritten and then brought back to us at some point?
Yeah.
Okay, so we'll have that rewritten, Brad. Is that okay? All right. Anybody else on this one? Okay, Brad, please continue.
Last one on Bill 5, number 130.
We had 115?
Okay.
Yep, 115 and then 130. Okay.
Yeah, 115 and 130. Okay, move on to goal number 9, which is the last page.
Okay, which one are you going to now?
Goal 9, the last page.
It's page 24.
Yeah. All right, page 24, you said.
Yeah.
All right, go ahead.
1B. 1B.
Can Councilmember Gamble?
Can you just remind me why we had, I mean, it's the same one, obviously. What, 1B, 1D? It's the exact same.
Oh, that's a good
thing. It's supposed to be.
That's what
yeah.
you're saying earlier.
There's a, so it's the same thing on the P.004? Is that?
Yeah. Oops.
Yep.
Okay.
So take one of the fours out.
4, 6, 7B, and
okay, I see no comments. Councilmember Gearing and then Councilmember Kotoback.
Number 8. Long-term growth of Main Street between Kelsey and 179th. This is a downtown-specific goal. That's way more than downtown all the way to 179th. And beyond 179th on Main is where we're talking about, you know, there's a lot of mixed use. There's the West Main Street plan that we have for that. That to me is separate from downtown. Just as I look at this one, if you're talking like Main Street to Kelsey, yeah, that to me says downtown. Why 179th versus Kelsey, which is more of a, you know, a downtown-ish street?
Yeah, exactly. You know, I think it's got in there because it's just downtown there. So. Basically, that's the next section. You got downtown and Kelsey, and then after Kelsey. So depending on
whether
you expand downtown or leave downtown, the more
form. I think we got a lot of expanding to do in the area we already have. I want to redevelop what we already have, certainly. And we've got a West Main Street plan for the rest of Main Street that we did the zoning for a couple years ago. When I see it, it makes more sense.
Yeah.
I don't know what the 179th seems like a little bit bigger, but that's the only thing that jumps out at me on that one. Yeah, thanks.
Councilmember Cutterback.
Well, the downtown plan had four areas that kind of obviously of
right.
the what we consider downtown that branched out off obviously off of Main Street. It had Borland and kind of down 203 and then the rails to road and as you're going towards 179th, the West Main. So I consider obviously downtown core kind of along that Main Street, but in the surrounding areas all the way up to Highway 2 a little bit, you know, from Main to Highway 2.
Mm-hmm.
So because there's lots of small businesses right in that area. Brad, my question was more where did these policies come from? Because I know we had a lot of discussion about whether to have the goal and not have the goal. Were these policies from the consultant?
Yes.
Okay. Were any added or deleted through Planning Commission? I don't have that original.
171 through 176 were added by the Planning Commission.
171 through 176?
Yes.
Okay.
You already see those in the previous nights.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, and then also next Monday, the Planning Commission is going to bring in all their thoughts for additional policy. So.
Oh, okay.
Thinking about it over the next week, and then we'll talk about if they have any additions they'd like to make.
Okay, that was my question, whether there was additional thought put into other policies, and I had written down just a couple, so I was just curious if that was being looked at, so I'll wait and see what they come up with. Okay, great. Thanks, Brad.
Councilmember Gearing.
Thanks. Just one more on number 8, because I wanted to get your thoughts on that. Would you consider, I'm asking because I want to know, would council members consider City Hall to be downtown? Are we downtown right now? So I'm just trying, just geographically, like what we're talking about with that. I just trying to get my own head around it. I don't feel like we're downtown right now. If you're, so when we're talking about an area where we want to encourage long-term growth of Main Street between, you know, between from Kelsey, you know, to all the way to the to Al Borland Park entrance. Absolutely, I mean that's down. You know, that's what we're talking about. When I think beyond Kelsey, we've got a different kind of housing. We've got schools. We've got doesn't feel like downtown. And so I just if we're going to focus in the downtown, I'm thinking, you know, I've got a box in my head as I think of the map in my head. That's what I think. And again, I'll leave it alone if nobody else cares. Just all 179th is a full mile past Kelsey, and that's, I don't think anybody would say they're downtown. But certainly, if we want to make a policy about West Main Street and the West Main Street plan and developing mixed use, I don't know that would go in the downtown goal. But we could certainly have that under a different. And there may be, I don't remember specifically a West Main Street policy, but that might be something under the economic development one or something or housing like that. But anyway, just the 179th was gave me a little bit of a rub. But if nobody else cares, then we'll leave alone.
And Brad, this isn't defining downtown. This is just talking about this being a service area where people might walk from new development to the downtown. Right.
Very good then.
So you know, depends on how you want to focus specifically on the downtown or on feeder area to the downtown.
The goal is about downtown, and so that's why I'm like, we have so much to do there. Let's keep it in downtown. Yeah. If we want to talk about West Main, then that's a different project to me in my mind. Downtown is downtown, and you know, the parallel park, the things we're talking about now, that's that. Yes, everything else is important, but anyway, all right, thank you.
Councilmember Hanford.
Yes, thank you. I concur. I think we should really keep it really focused on the downtown area. I don't think of ourselves as downtown right now. It's the back down that way, so let's focus that way. Thanks.
Thank you. Councilmember Cutterback.
So I just read that a little bit differently because
sure.
It's talking about encouraging long-term growth of Main Street, so it's not saying, you know, that's the focus, but then it says mixed-use extension of downtown vitality. So, you know, you have the downtown core and vitality, but as you're focusing on that, there's going to be development and connection to, you know, West Main all the way down, and it's just saying that, you know, consider that, and it's going to be part of downtown's vitality, you know, to consider those outlying areas too, and don't forget that because they all do connect. So I don't look at it as,
you can see that, sure, yeah,
we're putting a focus on it. You're just encouraging that's going to grow as downtown grows and develop, you know, so just be aware of that. So
you know, I'm good with that. That's good enough. Yeah.
So are we keeping the policy in then?
Yeah.
Okay.
I appreciate that.
So the one thing that occurs to me is that when we talk about a service area to the downtown, going linear along Main Street seems a little short-sighted in that, and I don't know the word to use, so I'm just using that one for right now, but it seems like you could go radially, you know, to the north and the west, and also maybe not so much to the south and the west, but I think it's important that we recognize that there are areas that are within walking distance to the downtown that will contribute to the vitality of our downtown, which is, I kind of think, what this is getting at.
Okay.
But I don't know that it just needs to be along Main Street. I think it's okay to recognize that the area to the post office, up to Kelsey, maybe parts of Blueberry are within walkable distance to the downtown. I think we can leave it in the way that it is for right now, but I would hope that as we're doing our land use planning and infrastructure planning, that we think not just along one line, but we think radially where other people, you know, where people may live or have other businesses. So anyway, so council, would you like to leave it the way that it is for now? I see head nods. Okay. All right. Anything else, Brad? That was 008. So I think, was that the end?
Short.
We hopefully will have a draft plan on Friday. We'll review it, hopefully get out to you as soon as possible afterwards so that you can review it prior to the meeting on the 31st with the consultant.
All right, thank you very much. All right, next item is under unfinished business. This is AB 15-049, discussion draft city web and social media policy.
Thank you, Mayor. The staff and city attorney have been working on this for quite a while now, and we kind of knew that we were going to be cutting edge when we made the decision that we did it several months ago to move forward with this. We've researched many policies that are out there that are offered on MRSC, policies that are as big as Seattle's policy. Finding something that works for us, a smaller city that's doesn't have the staffing levels that they do at Seattle, has been challenging. We've recently been working with Fives, and it really doesn't get us to where we need to be. So the discussion I want to have with council this evening is we're getting real close to having a policy to bring forward, but I wanted to make sure it was clear that what we're looking at is a more stringent policy that reiterates what is already talked about in state law and local law as it pertains to OPMA, as it pertains to confidentiality, anything of that sort that council's already subject to. We want to just reiterate that in the policy. And so I wanted to do it on a night when Zach was here as well, so he could chime in, answer any questions that you may have. But that's what we're recommending that we bring back, so it's absolutely crystal clear to everybody that's going to use this policy of what is allowed and what isn't allowed. Open for questions.
Councilmember Cutterback?
I think that's fair. I mean, I think it's important that we know the risk. I think it's important we have healthy discussion. And since I've been a council member who's kind of been driving this, it's funny because I've reflected back on when this topic came up, and we're in 2015, and it came up 2011, 2012. So while I understand we want to iron out the details, I think that bringing forward a policy, even if it's not perfect, and having us, you know, hash it out, and even if we come then to the conclusion of we're not ready to adopt the policy, that to me is forward, it's progress. So that's my hope. So I guess as a council member who's been driving this process a little bit, who's eased off, you know, I'm content with having a healthy discussion and bringing forward something, even if it's not perfect, or even then as a council if we decide not to go in that direction. So, you know, that's my hope and what I'm hoping for. So I appreciate all the work that's been put into it, and I appreciate that you guys want it to be absolutely what you think, but it could be present and say, this is just a draft, this is, here are the issues we still see with it, and let's have some more healthy discussion about it. Thank you.
Thank you. Councilmember Gearing and then Camp.
Thanks. Yeah, I absolutely, I agree. I'm assuming you were going to, is there a time frame that you were thinking about? I guess that would be my next question, because after that goes to that point, and you know, where we're just at least talking about something.
We're probably realistically 30 days out. What had happened is we brought in all these different policies, and the last one we're working on was the City of Fives. And the problem that we're running into is none of these policies really address the issues. Yeah. They tiptoe around, and there's delicate language. Well, you should probably do this, and you should probably do that. But the problem is it doesn't guide the user. And none of the policies that we've come up with reflect on current law, reflect on current regulations that are in place. So we need to mine those out, get them in there, make sure they're accurate, because there is no model.
Yeah. Yeah, I know staff's busy too, so I appreciate it coming back as soon as it can.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah. Yeah, we're on policy two, and it's not going to work. So we're going to bring in
the second draft policy.
Second draft policy.
As opposed to policy 1, 2, 200 and whatever. Okay. Okay. Thank you. Councilmember Camp?
Thank you. I agree. I'd like to see something since this has been gone for a few years. I know one of the people who was working on the Seattle policy a few years ago, and I know that she was concerned about the costs and the staffing requirements. So anything you do bring forward, any draft, I'd like to see indications of impacts to the city? Because you mentioned that obviously if you've got the Seattle staffing capability, it'd be a lot different than Monroe staffing capability. So I'd like to know if current staff can handle it, how much additional staff we need to have. Because I know that they had a lot of issues as she was working on the development plan. Okay, thank you.
Any other comments on this? Okay, so staff will work with our attorney then to come up with a policy, and we will have something back within approximately 30 days.
Certainly.
Okay.
Happy to help, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. All right. Next item is unfinished business, AB 15040, ordinance number 004, 2015, amending MMC 1870, marijuana-related uses. First reading, this is a continuation of the March 10th, 2015 discussion. Mr. Feilberg, welcome.
This was brought before you last week. The first reading, there were some council members who wanted the city attorney present to answer some questions. So, if you have any questions for me, I'm going to ask the city attorney.
Council? Councilmember Hanford.
Yes, thank you. Well, one of the things we talked about last week was the little areas that we're creating are so few and far between that it just makes more sense to do an outright ban like we've talked about in the past. So I think you were the one that requested the attorney here.
Yes.
But I remember we talked about that, so just to review.
Thank you. Councilmember Gearing.
Thanks. Yeah, so I would have questions for the attorney as far as what we have before us tonight versus going a different direction. And if we were just going to say, you know, it actually, if it was the will of the council to just instead just pursue an outright ban, what that means for this tonight, how that would change the path given what we have presented before this evening for action, yeah.
Mr. Little.
In answer to Councilmember Gearing's question, the approach suggested or reference, which is an outright ban, is under current state law permissible, at least under the current available authority. As I think I've indicated previously to the council, this is a constantly and currently evolving area of the law. The state is still waiting for the outcome of at least two different appellate cases that will finally establish some judicial precedent in this field. And there are also, I believe, legislative moves afoot to some extent seeking to either constrain or expand local regulatory power in this context. But as the current landscape legally stands, you do have the authority to either establish additional buffering requirements, as the draft ordinance in front of you provides, or to ban these uses outright. With respect to your process question, I would have to defer to the city's planning staff as to whether and to what extent the proposal before you tonight moved through the city's noticing and public hearing process in a way that provided for the potential for the council to take some other action, some broader action. And I assume that it did not do that. And if that's a correct assumption, the council can certainly amend its code in this fashion, but it would need to go back, have the Planning Commission or itself hold a public hearing on the point and allow the public an opportunity to comment specifically on the proposal of an outright ban as opposed to these additional buffers.
Okay.
The council always also has the ability to enact a moratorium or an interim zoning regulation that would not require an advanced public hearing, but that document is not in front of you tonight either.
I appreciate that. Yeah, from that standpoint, I mean, Planning Commission has already, I mean, they've kicked this around, and if there's a way for council to have that, the public hearing on whether or not with regard to just the outright, I'd certainly be in favor of having that, get the public input on that. But from that standpoint, it is cleaner when I think about it that way. And there's just the concept of grandfathering as well. As I think about it, we have some other laws on the books that are grandfathered in, and if something was to change, it'd be nice to already have something on the books with regard to that in my mind. So I'd certainly be in favor of scheduling a public hearing on the topic, and
if that's the next step in looking at it from that way, and then bringing back a proposed ordinance to that effect. As long as there aren't too many time constraints with that, and we can do that, then I'd certainly be in favor of that. Thank you.
Thank you. Councilmember Cuddeback.
So I would agree with that. I think that when we went down the path we did, we were basing on the information we had at the time, and as the attorney said, this has been evolving, you know, month by month, and the information we have right now and the public input we had, I think that scheduling a public hearing to look at going at an outright ban makes sense, and to get that public input. So my question is, would we vote on this tonight or leave as is and go down the path? I mean, I would assume we could vote on this, but
Mr. Will.
Not.
The council certainly is not prohibited from revisiting the issue of a proposed ban in the form of a separate amendment to your zoning code at some future date. You can certainly enact what's before you tonight, if that's your preference, and then always revisit the issue at some future point. If you don't want to include the intermediate step of having this additional buffering requirement, then there's no need to proceed with anything tonight if the council's preference is to move toward a ban. And I'll have some additional discussions and recommendations for staff regarding process issues attendant to that, if that's the council's preference.
That would be my preference, but
Councilmember Hanford.
Yes, thank you. I'm all for a public hearing since it's required. However, I would like to remind, for the record, we've had several public hearings already on the whole subject, and it was originally for possibly banning it from the city. So I don't feel like we're in no means having to start over or hear what the city of Monroe people think. I believe we've heard time and again hours worth of testimony. Mm-hmm. So just to remind everyone for the record. Thank you.
Councilmember Gearing.
My only other question would be, if we didn't do something, is there any issue with not passing something? I know it's only a first reading, but even if we did a first and second reading of this and then came back and did an outright ban, if by not taking any action, what does that do to potential applicants,
Mr. Will,
based on what we have now? Yeah,
the effect would essentially be the same, Councilmember Gearing, because a first reading wouldn't enact this into law in any event.
Okay.
There would be no effect on land use applicants.
Okay.
At this point,
whether it's read as a first reading or not.
Correct. That's
perfect.
Effectively irrelevant. Great. From a permitting standpoint.
Great. Thank you.
Councilmember Gamble.
Yeah, I mean, I guess, you know, I'm all for public hearing, that sort of thing, but in what's the duration of time? The reason why we went down this path was so that we, you know, trying to meet the state requirement. And if we don't have something in place, we do have this in front of us, and this gets passed. We have the, you know, the usage, and we can still do what everybody's talking about here. And effectively, you still, even with this passed, you can't obtain a business license. So, I don't know. I still would be in favor of. This is a lot of work that went into. In front of us.
Okay.
I don't, you know, maybe Brad or someone could answer what the duration would be. I mean, I already know that it's 2 weeks plus for notification or all that kind of stuff, right? You're looking at a month out minimum.
Yeah, I think one, and again, this will be for our staff to respond to, but one option that council would have tonight, you could adopt this as first reading. You could also do a motion to prepare an ordinance banning marijuana uses in the city of Monroe, and in which case I would imagine that an ordinance could be prepared. We may even be able to go so far as to schedule a hearing for that ordinance. So if council is concerned about the timeliness, I suspect that making a motion this evening would be one course of action. So the discussion, Zach, was perhaps having a motion to direct the preparation of an ordinance banning marijuana use within the city of Monroe, uses here in the city of Monroe, and then to schedule a hearing on that.
And I think that's appropriate, Mr. Mayor. The issue that I need to work out procedurally with staff is the extent to which the council can proceed holding its own hearing without remanding the matter back to the Planning Commission. Under state law, if all the council is doing is modifying or revising an amendment proposal that has been worked through the process up to now, there should be no issue, even if the city needs to issue a new STEPA determination, as long as the council itself holds another public hearing. That's the state law requirement has been satisfied. What I need to verify in conjunction or with the assistance of staff is what our own local procedural regulations say about that topic, and I'll be happy to do that and report back to council.
Okay, and that report could be next week. In the meantime, if council wanted to make a motion to request that staff prepare this ordinance, they could do that tonight, which would allow parallel actions to occur.
That's true, Mr. Mayor, and also depending on the result of the conversations with staff, the ultimate action the council may be taking, if that's the path it wants to go down, would be a revision of the draft document in front of you right now and characterizing it in that way rather than an entirely new document. But I will work with staff to develop the appropriate methodology there.
Okay. So, Councilor, there seems to be an interest in banning marijuana-related uses. Is there a motion? Councilmember Gearing?
Yeah, I'll make two. I'll make the one that's requested, and then the second one will be along those lines. I'll accept as first reading. I move to accept as first reading ordinance number 004-2015, amending chapter 18.7 MMC, marijuana-related uses, establishing minimum separation requirements between marijuana-related lane uses and private parks, religious institutions, and the Evergreen State Fairgrounds, entering legislative findings, providing for severability, and fixing a time when the same shall become effective.
Second.
We have a first from Councilmember Gearing, a second from Councilmember Kadeback. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 7-0. Councilmember Gearing.
I move to direct staff to alter the proposed ordinance to include an outright ban of marijuana-related businesses in the city of Monroe.
Second.
Okay, I have a motion from Councilmember Gearing, a second from Councilmember Kadeback.
To alter the proposed.
Does the language that he used get at what we're looking for?
It's sufficient to provide policy direction. Again, the procedural question is one that we'll have to look at separately.
Okay.
But if nothing else, it moves the process forward. And in the event that the council does want to ultimately adopt an outright ban and the determination is made at the staff level that a planning commission additional process is necessary, the council can always adopt an interim ordinance and have that effective sooner rather than later without the need for a planning commission process.
Okay. The motion was to include an outright ban. So this would be to alter this to be an outright ban. Is that correct?
I'll take your word for it. I didn't hear the
okay.
Motion.
That's what I said. Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
I thought you said include. All right. The motion is to alter the ordinance to be an outright ban of marijuana-related uses in the city of Monroe. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 7-0. All right. Thank you. We'll go ahead and move on now to the next item on the agenda, and that item is new business. Number one, AB 15050, discussion, single-family and multifamily definitions and fee determinations. And would this be Mr. Feilberg?
Following the appeal hearing about the accessory dwelling unit, that was appropriate to charge water and sewer connection capital improvement fees. There was some interest expressed by the council in looking at the definitions of single family and multifamily. I think that's the normal municipal code is defined differently in different places. Those are shown on the cover sheet. We are have scheduled to redo our development regulations following the adoption of the comprehensive plan in the beginning of the summer. But I think the issue that you are currently most interested in would be not have to go through that process, but rather just change and put an amendment into the water and sewer tied chapters 1304 and 1308 of the Mineral Municipal Code that would specifically exempt accessory dwelling units from the payment of those fees, such as you currently have in the code that allows single bedroom and studio apartments in downtown commercial to only pay one third of the fees. So that would be an immediate fix that doesn't require public hearings, because it's not a land use regulation, things like that, that could go into effect rather relatively quickly and not have to wait for the code update after the comprehensive plan is adopted.
Councilmember Gehring and then Councilmember Gamble.
Thank you. Brad, I appreciate this information. Both things need to happen.
Right.
Both need to happen. So, and while the other one's going to take a little bit longer, I might not be here for all of that, but it definitely does need to happen. We need it, and it's our job to have a clear and consistent code, and clearly there are stuff in there, and it's all over the place. And while tedious and a big effort, it is something that we need to do. So however long that does take, we at some point, perhaps after the conference plan is done, we need to begin at least on that journey. In the meantime, as I said last week, ADUs, and just in looking back, you know, at the history of that, it's still a piece of property that's zoned single family. I don't see why we would have ADUs paying sewer hookup fees when they're not really they're you can't have their own meter and you're hooking up to the existing dwelling unit that's already there. It just doesn't make sense to do that. So if we're talking about putting something in the code that says ADUs don't pay those things, then I'm in favor of that. That needs to be clear. It's not the intent of what an ADU is. Yeah, I think it's some of the same questions that I had from last time when we had the hearing. It's still single family. It's not multifamily. It shouldn't be charged as multifamily. And it's not. We're not tearing up the pavement there to connect to a city sewer. So when I think of those things, we're talking about a new development, absolutely. But this is something on an existing piece of property where there's already a house. To me, that's very different, and those fees don't apply. So I personally would love to see that exemption written in, but I also think we need to have we need to clean up the code full-blown, and that's at a later time, but that absolutely needs to happen. Thank you.
Councilmember Gamble?
Yeah, I would concur. I think the thing is when I look at the capital or the impact fee schedule, and I think you pointed out very well, there are points in there that it actually calls out in the different fees accessory dwelling units. And I think that, the confusion or where to get is that this particular area, the only definition there is single family, multifamily, when you look at the impact fees. I think really the cleanup is going through that impact, because there's another discrepancy in there when we talk impact fees, where it talks about single family residences paying one impact fee if it is one or two dwellings. It makes that statement. Well, the only way you can have two dwellings on a single family
unit
residence would be an ADU.
Right.
But then it subsequently says underneath that ADUs will pay a reduced a fee, and spells that out. So it contradicts itself right in the fee schedule. So for me, if it's an exception, what you suggested, that's great. It does that. But I think really what we're, in my opinion, is that the code is, in my opinion, is pretty clear in 18.4 that an ADU, you have very stringent things that you have to do in order to maintain a single family residence status. Right, you have to live in either one or the other for six months out of the year. You can't sell them separately, that thing. So I guess what I'm saying is it putting more of an exception, or is it clearly defining that an ADU is single family? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Because if that's the case, then I don't know how much changing you have to do. It's pretty clear when it references single family, multifamily. But really, the designation around the ADU classification, and then just clearing up in the impact fee schedule where there is the discrepancy between the two would be my thoughts.
Thank you. Councilmember Cuddeback.
I appreciate the solution, short-term solution to a current problem, because especially when I read that we have three or four people have inquired about an ADU, so I appreciate you coming up with a solution that can help those people right now and clearly give them some definition of what that they're not going to have a capital or a sewer charge, a hookup charge, which I think is really important that we handle that now. So I think when I look back on the ADU and the purpose of the ADU and what it listed as, you know, caring for a family member and so forth and so on, and how we haven't had people apply for ADUs or go through the whole permitting process, that speaks to me that there obviously was somewhat of an issue probably with the process and the fees. And plus, they will be paying more for water and sewer because their usage will increase. So that's where they will be incurring the cost. So I appreciate the solution. I do agree that probably have to go through the code and look at it and make sure they dovetail. And I think that will be handled through our comp plan update. So I understand not wanting to go through things now and when we know we're going to be going through it later. So that makes complete sense to me. So I appreciate you coming up with this solution that helps move us forward right now. So I would assume we need a motion.
Looks like it's direction tonight.
So direction. So it sounds like we have agreement to move forward with the changes that are in here.
Yeah.
Brad, what are the next steps on moving this forward? Does this go to Planning Commission?
Yeah. No, because it's not a land use regulation, so it doesn't have to have a public hearing.
Okay.
And so we can just do it. You know, we can get it on the agenda for, well, that would probably not look at the ordinance itself, so probably
Okay.
So I'm in favor of bringing it back on, you know, on the agenda and having a motion to handle this right now, knowing that we'll move forward looking at all the ordinance or the code when we look through the comp plan update.
Okay, so we'll go ahead and bring this back on April 7th then. Councilmember Gamble?
Then the only other thing was just around, I mean, do you have a recommendation on the I might want to say travel impact fee, but that's not correct.
Transportation.
Because would you not agree that it kind of contradicts where one says ADU and the other one says one and two dwelling units as far as single family?
If you look at the, you know, some of the definitions in there are both to four units, we'll call it single family. So, you know, since it added the ADUs, it's just, yeah, really, that's
okay. No, but that's my, I mean, that's.
That's why I'm saying there needs to be longer process,
yeah,
but sorry.
Yeah, needs to be more. So I think, yeah. I think that's a council policy decision of whether or not you want to exempt.
Well, I guess I would like to see that one maybe separate then, because we build an exception for this, because to me, I'm still trying to come up with an example where you have a single family residence with two dwelling units where it would fit that definition and not be, I mean, what other would you have other than a...
It can only be an ADU according to the code, right?
Right, that's my point. Yeah. So I'm just trying to, and those are under the same, under the, you know, the fee schedule we just approved. So yeah, that would be the only thing I would like to see, because I agree with the point that you've made that we should address it as we're going through the comp plan and all that kind of stuff. But that one to me just jumps off the page because it just contradicts itself. It's and they're one line separated from each other. So that would be the only other one.
Transportation mitigation fees. So those would be Planning Commission.
Well, it depends on how structurally you want to do it. If you just want to do the change the fees resolution, it's a single family on one line, multi-family on another line with a different fee, and ADU, which whatever fees you'd like to pick, that is not a land use decision, that's a fee decision, so we have to go through that process. You want to actually change the definitions in the fee.
Yeah, and I'm not asking...
Enable an ordinance that charges the transportation fees.
Yeah, I'm not asking changing the
the definition, just the resolution?
Just clearing up just making it more clear in the resolution.
Yeah, because it's basically, the two lines don't make sense to you.
Okay, so unless council disagrees, and if it's okay with staff, we'll bring back a revised resolution on April 7th also, so that both can be taken care of on the same night, or considered on the same night.
Yep.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you, Brad.
Thanks, Brad.
Sorry, Mr. Brazel.
Thank you, Mayor. Before we leave this topic, can you speak about the citizen concern?
The next thing I was going to bring up.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay, that's right.
So, in addition to the startup fees, there are also ongoing monthly fees. Which currently the code and the code interpretation that has been used is that if you have two units, accessory or not, you are paid double fees. You pay double fees for your monthly water bill. And you also get double allowance. So that might be something else that you'd like to have brought back on the 7th.
that would clarify in keeping with the same direction
yes.
the site is going with the connection charges or the capital improvement charges, do that for the monthly bills also.
Okay, Councilmember Hanford.
Yeah, I think we got an email about that.
Yes, we
and
did.
And that's exactly what I would think we need to do is line it all up so it's all
yes.
uniform.
So we'll make that revision as a item for consideration also on April 7th. Okay, anything else? All right, we're going to go ahead and move on now to the next item under new business. This is AB 15051, setting a date for consideration of the Columbia Crossing Preliminary Plat. Mr. Feilberg.
So the Columbia Crossing Plat is at the west end of West Columbia Street, where it makes the dog leg to go behind our main site. So if you continue straight on West Columbia, that's the property that is under consideration. It's a 20-lot plat. It had a public hearing at the Planning Commission, and I'm sorry, at the Hearing Examiner. The Hearing Examiner has recommended approval of the plat conditions. Our code requires it to be presented to the City Council, which is now, and for the council to set a date to consider the recommendation of the Hearing Examiner, which we are suggesting for next week. If you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
Council? Okay, if there aren't any questions, is there a motion? Councilmember Cutterback.
I move to set the date of March 24th, 2015 for the closed record consideration of the Hearing Examiner's recommendation on Columbia Crossing, a preliminary plat 14-SDPL-001.
Second.
Okay, I have a first from Councilmember Cutterback, a second from Councilmember Rasmussen. Any discussion on the motion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 7-0. Okay, the next item that we have is Councilmember Reports. Councilmember Gearing.
Thank you. For an unfortunate reason, had to go back to Kansas for a funeral, but it was a great time going back to the land of my ancestry. And a lot of small towns there with some really cool downtowns. And so I do appreciate things that we're talking about and some of the vision that we have here for our downtown. While our downtown is about 10 times the size of some of these very small towns, the importance of it, and even when you go to the website of some of these cities, it's, hey, come to our downtown. And so I do appreciate the, it's important. We've all stated how important it is, but in much smaller towns, and we're blessed with a lot of different economic opportunity areas in our town, but there are those areas where you just saw them all over the place, where downtown was the heart of those towns. And I know that we have a lot of areas and we want to keep a city focus, but it is a living example all across flyover country, if you will, of the importance of downtowns. So I definitely noticed that. It was a lot of fun, and not a fun reason to travel back, but certainly appreciate where I come from even more, but appreciate Monroe and the things that we're doing here, because it's the effort that we're putting into all of this is going to pay off. And now if we can just find some funding, it'd be awesome. So thank you.
Thank you.
Seen the light.
Well, I was always on board. I'm just
Member Gamble.
So softball season is upon us. We're out using those parks, Mike. They're looking really, really good. Of course, the weather has been outstanding, and then except for this last Sunday, it was a little wet. And girls basketball was wrapping up at the middle school level, and I've just been in and out of those activities. Got a little too close on Saturday, and found out softballs aren't soft. I took a foul ball to the eye, hence the reason for the glasses, and that's a little sensitive to light for right now as it's healing. It was my own daughter's pitch and the other coach's daughter that fouled it off, so, and my own fault. So it's great to be back out there coaching again. On a little bit of a sadder note, I'd be remiss if I didn't at least mention loss of one of our students at Park Place Middle this last week. Jasmine was a friend of my daughter's. It's not something that you you even, you know, contemplate a 14-year-old child leaving us in that way. And I just, heart goes out to her family, and I would just encourage all to have that conversation with your child. That's all.
Councilmember Davis.
Yeah, the Legislative Affairs Committee met. I can do a report on that after the...
Why don't you go ahead and give your report now?
All right. We met and we selected a new committee chairman, person.
No.
No, we didn't.
Almost.
It wasn't. Was it a tie vote? What?
No, I went ahead and volunteered to be the committee chairperson, so you're off the hood.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Anyways, we talked about the first the new business that we talked about. Besides that was the proposed contract for lobbyist service, and you should have a copy of the proposal and the contract. And I guess we were approached by
over here.
The lobbyist, and they made that proposal. And I'll let Jean talk to that. She was the person who spoke with him. Give you some idea on that. But I think what we agreed that looked like a might be a good idea. At least it needs to be brought up and discussed. So mm-hmm. if we could get it on the agenda as soon as possible and at least discuss that option. And we looked at some of the unfinished business. We had the update on the salary commission, and that's something we might want to look at because we've only got one candidate so far. We need, what, five candidates? We might look at amending that to maybe three members instead of five, unless we can get some more candidates. And that's something to think about, too. We all might think about somebody, and I know that's been asked before. Anybody that we might know that might be interested in serving in that capacity on the commission, let them know that we need their help and see where we go. Other unfinished business, the administrative rules enforcement term limits update. Forget where we were on that, but it's... We're still looking at that, and we're still going to discuss that. Plus, we discussed the terms for our term limits for the ethics and library board, and our feeling was that we have a mechanism for term limits on that because they're yearly. What's the term?
Appointment.
Appointed by the mayor. So, basically, we do have a mechanism of term limits. So our consideration on that was we really need to look at adding any kind of term limits because of that. But if that's something that we would like to discuss, we can certainly do that. Other than that, we've got our next committee meeting is March 17th. And that was about it.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Oh, the other thing I had.
Yes, sir.
I was considering going to see an optometrist, but I think I'm just going to pass on that. I know if I show up in sunglasses at night, you guys are going to think something really weird is going on.
You got a club.
Two in sunglasses tonight.
Yeah. I know that's what Councilmember Camp was doing over there. What the heck is going on when he walked in?
Oh. Yeah, me
yeah,
too.
When I walked in, I looked at this, I thought it was some strange St. Patrick's Day that I was unaware of. And it's going to have to wear green and sunglasses.
Anyway,
my turn.
Yes, sir.
Did you mention about?
I'm out. Please go ahead.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, the Tigers and the Wolves have finally decided that they would like to do our, or when they are available, since they're launching rockets tonight, to do our pledge.
Nice.
And we're hoping for next week, and I think you're on board for that.
Actually, but he took your turn.
Oh, was
it? He took your pledge, so you can donate your pledge.
I will donate my pledge. So the Tiger and Wolf Den from PAC 148 will be here next week to deliver the pledge. I had asked the mayor and I was going to ask the chief if maybe some kind of demonstration from the police department for the group would be kind of nice, like 6:30 or something. If that'd be possible, I'll let you think about it. Bring out the SWAT truck and have them climb around on it or something. Actually, in the Citizens Academy, they took us for a ride down Main Street on the outside of the truck. That was a lot of fun. We probably wouldn't want to do that with a bunch of cubs.
Not with tigers and wolves.
There's no liability there.
No, none whatsoever. Or something like that. Anyway, so that's the high point. Thanks again to the members of the legislative committee for not appointing me chairman. Get it? I knew I was kind of frightful of that, but I guess I dodged that bullet. And that's all I've got. Thank you. Mayor, I'll give you this in a minute.
You're bringing coffee next month.
Donuts. Okay.
Councilmember Rasmussen.
Thank you. Got a few things. First, Officer Jason Southard and K-9 Officer Nuke visited the Boys and Girls Club today for Career Day, or as part of Career Month, and spoke to our teens. And I was pleased because I got an outstanding email from my teen staff just as I was walking in. Kids were thrilled with the presentation and the discussion from Officer Southard, and I actually remember seeing them walking in and trying to get away to go say hi, and things kept coming up, and here it was over an hour later. I finally broke away and stepped outside and still saw his car there, and he was still there talking to the kids, and they were completely engaged. It was a good time. He finally had to say, you know, okay, I gotta go. So Chief, if you can just pass that along to Officer Southard, that'd be outstanding. Kids had a great time. Last weekend, attended our Monroe Montessori auction and finally won a class art project, which, yeah, I was very impressed by. So it'll be hanging up in my office here within the next couple of days. Probably the most expensive fridge art I will own, but well worth it. Thursday, I actually had the honor and privilege to, as part of the East County Board for Housing Hope, attend the Monroe Family Village Community Hope Dinner at Echo Falls. And it was a pretty special night. The East County Board presented Dr. and Mrs. Hoover recognition for their service in our community, which was phenomenal to see. It was just one of those nights where he, at least for me, kind of walked away thinking, and especially after the speaker that presented at the dinner that night and shared her story and how Housing Hope benefited her, and it was very inspirational and very, very moving. And come to find out, is one of her kids I get to work with every day at the club, and had no idea, and you know, it just kind of reinforces the value that Housing Hope has and what it's how it's going to help our, or what it brings to our community. So it was a great night, very, like I said, very inspirational, very moving. So that's all I have.
Thank you. Councilmember Cutterback.
This Friday night is the Monroe Public Schools Foundation auction. So this is, I'm sure there's still space if you talk to Sue Skillen, but it's they raise money obviously to scholarships for kids, graduating seniors, and teacher grants and a bunch of stuff. So it's a great organization to support. And that's at Echo Falls. I think doors open at 5:30. So if you need a seat, I probably have a seat at my table if you'd like to join me. And I sit on the Providence Hospital Northwest Regional Board, and I was in Bellevue for a governance conference Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And I'm just amazed at how big an organization Prov is. It's a $14 billion organization, and they have services in 5 states. So I was getting all the boards together in one place, and lots of good keynote speakers, lots of changing things in healthcare. So just a really exciting time to be a part of, you know, that service and giving back. And it's great to see that Providence really does care for the poor and the vulnerable, and found out that Providence reports to sponsors who actually report to the Vatican. So it was just a really interesting educational learning experience for me. And then I thought, Council Member Gearing, I think you would be a great test case for the enforcement of the term limits coming up. So nice. I think that's something you should consider at the end of the year.
There we go.
You can be the
I'll
test.
I'll happily help enforce.
Yeah, see, you can be the test case.
You'll know in the middle of May when my name's not there.
But you're not going to do it. That's it.
Thank you. Council Member Hanford.
Yeah, a couple things. Thursday, I had the privilege of attending the United Way of Snohomish County Community Caring Celebration at Xfinity Arena, and was so pleased to see in the, and I was meant to bring it tonight, but the program, they talked about different groups and areas that were raising United Way membership and donations, and someone from Monroe, from our city, was listed as one of the semifinalists. Hmm. I can't remember her name.
Sherry.
That's it.
Yeah.
I was so proud. I was like, yeah, that's my city, showing all the people at our table. So that was very cool. Mm-hmm. Very, very exciting to see. So. On the sad note, as Customer Gamble talked about, Jasmine, she was a friend of one of my daughters as well. And from my daughter's perspective, it was she was being bullied, and so I won't go into anything else except that. We need to have the conversation about suicide with our kids, but we really need to have a conversation about bullying. Mm-hmm. And doing the opposite, which is showing love and compassion. It's pretty sad. Mm-hmm. So keep that family in your prayers. Mm-hmm. Thanks.
Mike.
Last week, Mayor and I, we hosted a meeting with representatives from the Monroe Historical Society, the Monroe School District, the American Legion, the Council Chamber of Commerce, and what it was regarding was the Memorial Field. There was a World War II memorial that was erected in, I believe it was 1951, yet it was never completed. And a group of eighth grade students had been researching recently finding the completion of the project would mean a listing of names of those that lost their lives in World War II that were students from or former students of Monroe. Mm-hmm. So they've been working on that, and so they shared with us a couple of options as far as items they'd like to flesh out and possibly accomplish. And one of them is to possibly relocate the monument. So we discussed some options, and so what the group will do is research potential locations that could be at another school site or a potential park site as well. And then another item that was discussed, and this was brought forth mostly from the American Legion, is they'd like to plan possibly a larger comprehensive veterans memorial that would represent all of the wars. And also all of the branches of service that could include flagpoles as well. So next steps, we'll just continue to meet as a group regularly, and I'll just keep you informed of the progress. So it's good stuff.
That's good.
I just want to update you on this. We have a group of us, YMCA, Public School Foundation, Monroe Arts Council, City Parks, Monroe Concert Band, Movies Under the Moon. We selected four movies for this year. So Friday, August 7th, we'll be showing Big Hero 6.
Oh, cool.
And then Friday, August 14th, we'll be showing Maleficent.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's a great one.
And Friday, August 21st, we'll be showing Guardians of the Galaxy.
Nice.
Oh, yeah.
Very fun.
It's getting louder, right?
Yeah. Movies.
I watched that on the airplane.
Friday, August 28th, the last one is Mockingjay. So
oh.
Wish us a good crowd.
Yeah, absolutely.
So,
okay. Gardens of the Galaxy.
Thank you. Dan?
Nothing to report tonight.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. Brad?
Where's your sunglasses?
Good Irish.
Except the multimedia part doesn't work, so I just have a piece of paper.
Oh.
Piece of paper and pen, multimedia. So,
Main Street.
Just a little update on downtown parking.
Yeah.
On the thing. This is showing the parallel parking downtown with the wider sidewalks and the strip and things like that. So in this configuration, you can come look at it afterward.
Is that how you zoom in?
Yeah.
Hi, Ted.
Here, let me try it.
Wait a minute.
Lost me completely. I don't worry.
That never happened.
Do this. In order to doing that, we made the squishy things around, and actually, because of making the pervious pavement bigger and the path with the blocks a little smaller, we'd actually save $11,000 on that part. However, doing this, we end up with the right there and there, and there are the light poles. So basically, they end up in the middle of the sidewalk. So thinking about moving them up the curb, so actually eliminating the street too, which also allow us to maybe in the future to put another light on top, which then put more light on the sidewalk, would actually end up costing $50,000 more if that's something to consider. So that's just guesses right now. We met with the contractor today who's doing the west part at Lewis Street. For the pre-application meeting, our pre-construction meeting, and their planned construction start date is April 20th, which will still be done by June 30th. And so we will be talking to them about how much they'd actually charge for these changes and things like that. So as we're going along, we'll have a better price for you further down the line. And remember that you'll be talking, or hopefully having input from the public on 31st. We're going to have some brochures go out downtown, and it's going to the website tomorrow, and it was probably published in the newspaper today, in the city's official newspaper. The public hearing notice, so that'll be going up on the 31st. So, any questions?
Okay.
Thank you, Brad.
And I will be I'll be going through the downtown when Brad was mentioning that brochures will be distributed. I'll be going through the downtown on Saturday, as I frequently do. If anybody would like to join me, please give me a call. I'd probably be leaving at about 10 o'clock. So if you want to go, as long as there's not a quorum, which may be overwhelming to people, maybe meet me by about 9:45 at Sky River Bakery. I usually get myself a scone and
I'll give you a call.
And start from there. So, okay. Anything else, Brad? Okay. Mr. Lowe.
Yes, sir.
You pushed your button.
Oh, I didn't. I'm sorry.
Okay.
That was inadvertent. Pardon me.
You want to report out too?
Thank you.
Go fishing this weekend? Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Chief.
All of you should have received the 2014 annual report.
Yep.
And other than that,
let's see, just a couple of things that I have to report out on. I was at the Housing Hope fundraiser dinner also last week, met with folks on the memorial. One thing that was discussed, the American Legion is interested in doing something. There's a Vietnam memorial over at Travelers Park, and there was interest expressed in consolidating the two memorials in town into one location, potentially Lake Tai, but it went one step further, which was to have as many as one memorial for each one of the branches of service, the Army, Navy, Coast Guards, Marines, and potentially the Merchant Marine, and with a flag at each one. So as I was there, it went from replacing one memorial, which I understood was going to be potentially consolidating two over to Lake Tai, potentially, to being a larger, more significant memorial. So What we asked the American Legion representative to do, because he was going to go back and talk to his post, was to give us dimensions to see what that would look like on one of our park properties. And also, because the existing World War II memorial is on school property and was originally set there for students, to have a conversation with the school district about their thoughts about continuing to have a memorial on school property. So that's a little bit more of a summary of some of the things that we discussed. Councilmember Gearing?
Thanks. I think that's a great idea. I would certainly hope, just as I'm thinking about that, and visibility to even people coming through town. I call it Triangle Park, but Travelers Park. And while it's a little bit more constrained in size, again, people being able to see a memorial of that nature there, it could also be something that's a draw to get people into town. So we're talking about relocating and then adding. As long as that's on the list for to be considered, I would certainly hope that park is on the list to be considered. High visibility to that type of a thing, which I think might be appreciated by passersby, and maybe they'll want to stop.
So. Yeah. We discussed Travelers Park, and we can certainly bring this back when we've got more information, but one of the things that was expressed about Travelers Park was there may be an interest in having ceremonies and bands and things like that, and there was some concern as to the size of the park and also the loudness of Highway 2, but it certainly was not ruled out, but there was some discussion about that too. So what we'll do then is, as we get the size and get feedback from the school district and then the American Legion and the Historical Societies, we'll go ahead and bring that back for discussion and presentation to council about the status of that, because I think it's something that every one of us values and would be a great thing to have in our community. So, let's see, other items. This Thursday, I'll be going to Snohomish County Cities to the meeting. Tomorrow I'm meeting with Workforce Development, and I've already mentioned the downtown. And then I guess that's enough for a report out from things I've been doing and I'm up to. So we'll go ahead and go into the agenda for next week. And the one change that I would immediately have would be the Pledge of Allegiance being from Tiger and Wolf Dens, Pack 148. Okay. And Mr. Brazel, if you'd go ahead through the agenda and the extended agenda.
Okay. Draft agenda for March 24th, 2015. Under announcements and presentations, we have confirmation of appointment, HR director. And then we have the proclamation for citywide food drive. We have the consent agenda. Under new business, we have authorized mayor to sign public defender backup conflict agreement. Number two, setting date for consideration of hearing recommendation for Bear Mountain Estates. And under final action, we have approved Columbia Crossing preliminary plat and ordinance amending MMC marijuana related uses. We talked about that earlier tonight, so staff will be working on that. And we have staff report and land sales update.
Is that going to be on for discussion also?
Yeah.
I'm going to, on the legislative services agreement, I will work with the providers and see what their availability is. And if we can get them here next week, we'll certainly do that.
Okay. Councilmember Gearing.
Thanks. Draft agenda for April 7th. Would that be draft agenda for March 31st? We are having a meeting on 31st, right?
Yes.
And I think it's more than just the meeting, right? Are we actually doing business that night? I just want to make sure. If it was a special meeting, then maybe not. But I thought we were also doing regular business that night, too.
So
we are.
Yeah.
All right. So
we
should just go.
So we'll change the agenda to reflect March 31st.
I just want to make sure it was, yes, wasn't just the special meeting part. Okay.
You're correct.
Cool, thanks.
And that'll be the night that we have a hearing, not a hearing, but a public testimony section for the parking in the downtown.
And just a comment, as we continue to deal with these quasi-judicial matters. If you get emails or correspondence like that, try not to open those. I'll respond to those citizens, and I did have a lot of dialogue with the one email that came out today, so I just wanted to remind council of that. It happens, but if you could try not to look at them, just mayor let me know, somebody will let me know that it happened, and I can reach out to the citizens and let them know why we won't be, or council member won't be responding. So.
Councilmember Camp?
Thank you. Just a question. So if you inadvertently start reading it before we get to your email?
Got to figure out what it is.
Then what do we have to do?
You got to see what it is.
Council, you should be prepared to disclose that communication, but clarify in your disclosure comments that you did not continue reading after realizing what it was about.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Anything else on that? Okay. Please continue. Mr. Braswell?
And the long-term agenda. Additions or deletions?
Okay, I see none.
I do have one follow-up item.
Go ahead.
Last week, Councilmember Camp had brought a citizen concern regarding handicap parking out there in front of the Sky Valley Educational Center. We have talked to the school district about it as well. We've looked at the site, and one of our employees is going to be meeting with that mother, I believe, tomorrow. So we're working on resolving that issue. So it's a follow-up for you.
Thank you.
And before we leave the extended agenda, I do have one other item for March 24th. And Ms. Nelson and I have been working on, and staff have been working on the ending fund balance from last year. And remember, for the budget for 2015, one of the things we identified was hiring a Parks employee. And as early as April 1st, depending upon how the returns came in from sales tax and things along those lines. So we feel that we are in a position now where we have been able to prioritize some of the different staffing and other needs, both one-time needs and also ongoing costs. So what we'll be doing next week is having a discussion about some of those priorities and about how the financials look to be able to do that. So I just said a lot of words, and we'll have something with a shorter title, but that'll be the discussion item on the agenda for next week. We'd like to have that next week, the 24th, because the 31st, even though it is a special meeting, we don't want to add more things to that agenda since we're going to have a long night anyway. So, and then again, we'd like to be able to hire at least that one employee sooner in April than later. We've got some other things going on, and we have some personnel needs to be able to make certain our parks are ready. So any questions about that? Okay. Anything else? Go ahead, Gene.
On that note, I've asked Mike and Ben to put an email out to council giving you a little more information. So you'll be seeing that come out in the next day or so. I forgot to represent Ben. If you haven't already visited your box, inbox, you should have either your phone or your computer there. So if you have any questions on operation, feel free to let me know. I could pass those on. If you have a hot spot, you can connect with your computers. I brought one and fired it up tonight in case somebody was using their computer. So,
is that what I'm connected to? You must have already.
Most likely, because you can't connect. Yeah, you can't connect to our internal hotspot here, so I brought one and fired it up. So I will continue to do that if people are going to bring their computers and use those.
Yeah, I brought one just in case. Perfect. Okay. Hooked up immediately to yours. So.
Okay, excellent.
I don't think I can go back.
Oh. That's a big phone. Is that what we got you?
No, this is mine.
Oh, that's yours?
Oh, yeah, you went phone too.
I went the 6
okay.
Plus.
That's a good size.
All right, anything else on the agenda?
Tablet.
Okay, is there anything else for the city administrator report? Okay. We have no other business this evening, so if there is a motion to adjourn, Councilmember Hanford.
Second.
She stole your motion. First from Councilmember Cuttenbach, second from Councilmember Gamble. Any discussion on the motion to adjourn?
Yeah.
Seeing none, we are adjourned. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, motion passes 7-0. Thank you very much. Have a great evening.
Yeah.
All right.
Pretty cool.
Well, I hope that you feel better, and I hope I feel better.